on the line. I have Priscilla Granger from the Do or Die Foundation. Good afternoon, Priscilla.
Good afternoon, John. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you today?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Foggy morning.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, no, we were just saying off air. You've come a long, long way since I spoke to you way back when. I think you were only setting up. Do you want to tell the people?
Yeah, just a little bit under 2 years now, John. Myself and Risa Harling, we certainly have come a long way with the foundation. Yeah, the foundation is obviously there to support anybody in domestic violence. Now, not so much physical, but also emotional. So anybody in trouble out there, you know, there is a way out. No matter whether you're a man or a woman, there is a way out. And we plead with you not to stay in an abusive relationship. We just plead with you not to stay in it. Nothing good comes out of an abusive relationship. It doesn't matter whether they're good today and bad tomorrow. We can tell you personally, it gets worse. The Do or Die Foundation has certainly been able to save. Probably at the moment, we have numbers crawling up to around, in the last 2 years, we've numbers hitting around, I would say, 400 people that we've saved. I've no doubt we've saved them from death. They're alive today. And lots can be perfect, but they're safe. They mightn't have all the material trimmings that they would have had before they left the home, but they're very happy and they can sleep at night. They're not sleeping with one eye open.
And as you say,
so yeah, John, it's doing great. And the main aim was to save lives and help people, and that's what we've achieved big time.
And it's absolutely fantastic, because as I said, I've spoken to you before. Now you mentioned that you've saved lives, and unfortunately, there's statistics out there that say an awful lot of women who are murdered are actually murdered by their partners.
They are, yeah. Well, we've been saying it for years and nobody was listening. We said the statistics were up in they were ramping up to over the 60%, and they're not. They're 75 to 80, and they're getting worse. They're getting worse and worse, and there's no improvements, there's no help there. Reese and I are totally against... Now, don't get me wrong, we're in huge support of the ordinary good Garda out there that's in the station, that's out trying to walk the beat or trying to help out. But as regards management of police, I've absolutely, Reed and I, and we'll make it official, we've no problem saying it, I've no time for Garda inspectors, I've no time for superintendents, I've no time for... Maybe there might be one or two good lads that are inspectors, or women that are inspectors or commissioners, or assistant commissioners, but I haven't seen them recently. I've never met them. On a personal level, I've 8 weeks. We had terrible trouble. Myself personally, a letter went in and I've heard nothing back. That's the normal. That's the actual normal on how they treat you. They treat you with contempt. I'm shocked. When the Garda inspector's report came out, but at least we thought, right, great, we're going to get to the end of it. We know what's going on. Domestic violence raised its ugly head big time in it.
Yes, and it really just repeated what you've been saying.
I mean, you know, they bring over a fantastic man from the States who done this Garda inspector's report, but now yesterday, which to our horror, we're shocked. The rot will never stop. We had assistant commissioner who was there for years, and she's now after been appointed commissioner. Now, the whole thing was to clear out that mess that's up in the Phoenix Park, clear out what's going on of the previous people that were in them posts, and make it a new clean sweep. What does it do? They appoint her. Rita and I wrote to her on 5 occasions and to get a meeting with her.
You got no reply. You got absolutely no reply.
No.
It's disgraceful. Now, just reading here, the foundation has been instrumental in the drafting of a Dahl report designed to form the basis of improved legislation.
Once again, we're back down to ordinary women, ordinary mothers. What we did was we put on one sheet of paper what was needed. Myself and Rita went in to the Oireachtas. They heard Rita, she spoke. She produced it. yes, there was other groups there that have been there for years and years and years that are government funded. We're not government funded, and we won't be government funded unless they do it our way. But if we go government funding their way, we'll never be able to open our mouths.
Are you saying if you get government funding, you'll be more or less told what to do and what not to do?
Yes. No one's going to tell us that.
No, that go against what you're all about. So
you know, and that's where it's wrong. But yes, we lodged the commission into the Oireachtas, and all of what we put in, and all of how we're going to actually implement it, would accept it. So that's happening now. The minister had said that she would definitely sign the Istanbul Convention before the end of December. The Istanbul Convention is to criminalise domestic violence here in Ireland, but she now has put it on the long finger. She said early spring. Now, we're going to put more pressure on. That's not good enough for more people and more lives to be gone. So, you know, we're down to, of course, you know, the same normal and the same crap that we've had to put up with, and your listeners have had to put up with, is to make sure that this is done and the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. We're sick of it now. We're sick of it. The pressure will be piled on to get domestic violence criminalised.
It's just bureaucracy gone mad.
Certainly is.
I'm just reading the report here, and it's mentioned about why some victims return to an abusive partner. This used to be said a lot.
This is the thing. We want that the mother or the father with children, don't get me wrong, it's not all women that are being abused, there's men out there too, but why should they have to leave the home?
Yeah, exactly, yes.
Why should they have to leave the home where their children are used to, where their children are warm, where their children can sleep, maybe not in their beds with the partner or the abuser being there, but they shouldn't have to leave their homes. Bottom line is, they shouldn't have to leave their homes.
But they also are in fear of leaving their homes, especially if there's children involved, leaving the children behind. I interviewed the Amen Association last week, and they were saying that a lot of husbands or male partners don't want to leave their children with an abusive partner. And it's all very complicated, isn't it, actually getting out?
Well, you know, the gas part is, it'd be very uncomplicated if this government did something about it. And all they've got to do is criminalise it. The abuser is taken out of the home, arrested, charged and sentenced. And they should be... They don't go near the courts, that the Gardaí can do that automatically. And minimum sentence for abuse or emotional behaviour, minimum, should be a year. No compassion, no remission for good behaviour, no percentage off that he or she did X amount. In, do your time. And at the end of the day, I don't believe that these boys are women that are abusive to their partners should be sitting in Mount Joy or Wheatfield or Clover Hill or wherever they're going to be. They should be out. There's plenty of work out there in the area that they can be supervised in the community, that they're out cleaning the streets, they're out cutting grass. Put them to the work. That's what's wrong with them. They didn't do enough of it.
Yeah, they send them out into the community working.
Instead of the government wasting billions on you know, getting these services done. You know, get out there and clean the streets and clean up and get a life and realise you're not going to be having to depend on the state for the rest of your life, you know?
Yeah, now I've often heard it said, why doesn't she get rid of him, throw him out? Now, I know of a specific case where this has been said to a person, and their reply is, because I'm afraid of what he'd do. He'd come back to the house and bang down the door, and what he would probably do to the house. There's huge fear there.
Huge fear, because we don't have the backup from the Gardaí. That's the problem. Yeah, so we don't have the backup.
So what would your advice be to somebody in it?
Well, anybody that's in that fear, straight away they have to get a court order. They have to get a protection or a safety order. I'll give an example. We had a situation 2 weeks ago of a lady, and my daughter was out getting into the car. I was going shopping. My daughter was out getting into the car, and she shouted into me. She said, "Mom, there's a woman in trouble across the road." And I didn't know what she meant. But straight away, I thought she was being beaten. And I went out and there she was. She was being beaten. And it was her ex-husband. And anyway, she was being flung up against the wall. And he was, now he was certainly injuring her. So I ran across the road. And on my way across the road, I roared at him. And he looked. And I don't think he thought I was coming over to him. And I roared again. So he ran. So she was very traumatised. So I got her sorted out, took her into my car, got her down to her family. And anyway, I said to her leaving, you've got to go and report this to the guards. And she said, I've done this so often for Sedis. My heart is broke. I'm 8 years trying to get a safety stroke protection order. And I looked at her and I said, 8 years?
8 years,
so
she,
the guards said, I'm not entitled to one. I said, by God, you're entitled to one. So she went to the station. The guard rang me and asked me, would I make a statement? I said, absolutely. Went down, made the statement. She then rang me back and I told her that the statement was made. And I said, when are you going into Dawson House? That's where you get your protection stroke safety order. And she said, my solicitor is going to come in with me maybe next week. Would it be possible if you were able to come? I said, absolutely. So I went in with her, told the solicitor exactly what happened. I said, I'd go as witness into the stand if needed. And he arrived as brazen as you like, took photographs of myself and the girl. I went up, and this is something you see people haven't done. This guy would have been very dangerous, okay? Very dangerous in a lot of ways, maybe in criminal activity. We don't know. And I went up to the guards in front of him and I said, I'm just telling you, Garda, I'm now telling you I want something done. He's taken photographs. That's harassment. And he looked at me and he said, I said, you won't sort me out, you little bully. No, says I, you sit with your haversack. The only thing that you have, says I, handy, is your hands. And you're well used to using them. And he looked at me, because straight away you're undermining them.
Yeah.
So the guards kept an eye. The rollover was called, her name was called, and we went up. She got safety and protection order for 3.5 years.
But she was had been waiting 8 years.
With the result
that this guy returned to the home and beat her.
Yeah.
That's crazy stuff.
He's gone now, out of the house. So that I again said to her solicitor, it's very important, is it, that this is brought forward. So now, that cost that day for that girl to go into court €1,100 for a solicitor and a barrister. And the solicitor said to me, what's your fees? And I looked at her and I said, I don't charge. I said, I'm not here to make money. I'm here to help others and to save them. And she looked at me as much to say, for expenses, for witness fees. I said, no, I wouldn't charge. And we got came out and we got a taxi out and she's absolutely flying. She's doing really, really well.
Well, that's fantastic. And that's down to you as well, Priscilla. Great stuff. €1,100, Priscilla. What about free legal aid? Does it not apply?
Well, you see, free legal aid is the greatest farce in this country because it's jobs for the boys.
Yeah.
And you have to go on a list and you could be 3 years on the list. But remember, free legal aid is granted automatically to anybody who murders.
Yep.
So you'd be better off being murdered and then you get free legal aid. Like, where would you see the likes of it? Free legal aid should be there and it should be based on your income. Bottom line, it should be based on your income. And if you were self-employed, you're not entitled to free legal aid.
And to get this safety order, do you have to bring a solicitor and a barrister?
No, you don't. If you were going in and you're strong enough, this is the difficulty, if you're strong enough, you don't need a solicitor. Now, on the three occasions that I had to go and go in, the first two, I represented myself, went in, basically told the judge the truth, showed him the evidence, etc. And I was granted. The third time, I brought a solicitor the third time, and I didn't get it. Because she didn't come across as compassionate as I was, and as understanding to the judge when he said, well, this is the rules, and and I didn't get it. I sort of stood and I said, well, there you go. Anything you have to do, you must do it yourself.
Yeah, and she didn't have the experience of
She didn't have the experience. I do believe, I do believe with solicitors, you have to have a solicitor that is married, has a family, to understand domestic violence.
Yeah, and like when we started off talking originally, you were having meetings like in pubs and stuff like that, and you're inviting people down, and now you're at the stage where you're accompanying people to court, and you're approaching the government. You're doing great stuff, and but it takes up an awful lot of your time, Priscilla.
Well, I'll be totally honest with you. My situation, my own personal situation, is still ongoing. And to me, my way of, I suppose, helping people that are only starting out, going through domestic violence, this is my way. I suppose this is, I'm not saying it's a hobby, but I enjoy doing it. I enjoy helping people. I enjoy being able to give some advice and tease out a problem and know how to deal with it. And people are fantastic. 99% of the people listen to you. So that's great, you know, and you're not going to send them down a wrong road. Yeah, it does take up time, but isn't it better taking up good time than the time of me being thrown against walls and battered up the place?
Yeah, and it's fulfilling when you see, like, the case you just spoken
about.
Well,
you see, I have an old saying, what you put into life is what you get out. And if it's only showing your children, you know, help the person to lift the shopping or get up off the seat at the on the bus, give respect, you gain respect. And you, that, to me, that's the easy part of life.
Yeah, and you mentioned children. If children are in a situation like that and see the victim remaining a victim,
that's the thing. And Robin, who looks after the teenagers, she's doing a great job with the younger kids, so that's working out a treat. And we're hoping to, maybe it'll be another 2 years before we'd be able to do it, but we hope to set up something with regard to children's domestic violence as well, and the emotions, and maybe have a little counselling service. And you see, we have counsellors in place, but you know, they give their service free, but it's really weird. We don't seem to be using the counsellors, because we're able to counsel the victims ourselves.
Yeah, because you've been there.
We've been there.
Yeah.
You know, we've been there. We know the experience of it. Also, something that Rita and I made, we made a huge decision. We have never gone public on our stories. Why? I suppose because we were always afraid that they might come after us. And, you know, it was stupid thinking on our behalf. But we decided 6 weeks ago that we'd go public, and we did. And Jim Gallagher from the Sunday World newspaper did an absolute fantastic 2-page spread on us, on what happened to us and what we suffered. And we named our abusers in it. So that was a huge thing.
Yeah, you did. Was that a first?
It was a first ever in this country for two women to come forward. If anybody wants to read it, they'll get it up on the Sunday World website under Two Brave Women. And you'll see it, or put in the Do or Die Foundation in the search bar, and it'll show up the story. And amazing. Amazing. You want to see the Facebook page, then just flew up. And then people make more contact with us. And then we're in the Drogheda Echo this week as well. There's a write-up about us in the Drogheda Echo. And in the any of the local newspapers, especially Jack Leeson from the Dublin People, the North Side, South Side newspaper. Jack is an amazing guy. He has basically followed us and supported us right through. Very disappointed, though, with RTE and TV3, given absolutely no coverage. They wouldn't even reply to us.
Yeah, no, we hear a lot of that in here, the mainstream.
But there you go,
media.
They're being told what to do, you know what I mean? Yeah. They're not interested. RTE, not one bit on the same in TV3, very disappointed.
And you sent me the link about the Sunday World. And it's for
yes.
It makes for harrowing reading, and It shows how brave you both are, and in setting up this, and people that read me, and if they're in a situation, they are going to say, "My God, these people know exactly what I'm going through." Is there have you got contact numbers, or is it all done?
Yeah, I'll give you the mobile out. We had 3 mobile numbers, and what we decided then was we amalgamated them all into one. It was too busy to have 3 mobile numbers.
Yeah.
So we just felt it was too messy. So we have one now. And most people, being honest with you, contact us by Facebook.
Okay.
But what we do say is anybody that's contacting us by Facebook, send the message, delete it immediately.
Okay.
If you receive a message back from us, read it, delete it. We will have everything kept for court, and we can then print out everything for you should you need to use it in court as evidence. But just read and delete. We need you to do that. Don't let, because you might think your abuser can't get into your password, but I tell you, they're very clever people. But our phone number is 086-869-7022. And I repeat, 086-869-7022.
Okay, and
anybody out there, whoever, be it emotional, be it physical, we're here for you. You don't have to give your name. You don't have to say where you're from. We're here for you. And all I can say, this is really, really a tough time. This is going to be a very tough time with Christmas coming up. We're also doing a bag packing, and I'm appealing, I'm looking for helpers the 19th and 20th of December in Tesco Clearwater in Finglas. So if anybody is around, give us a shout. We'd love for you to even just to partake in it for an hour, or bring the kids along. They might be able to give us a dig out as well. But I'd like to take this opportunity on behalf of Rita and myself and our children to wish all the listeners at Nearest AM a very, very happy Christmas and a peaceful and a safe one, guys. Remember, don't spend all your money on material things. Just always have a few bob set aside. If it's only 100 quid that you might need to get out sometime in a taxi. But all I can say is we're here. If there's anything we can do, just give us a shout. And once again, John and all the staff at Near FM, thank you so much, and all the listeners for all your support, because you were the first radio station that took a chance with us, and look how far we've come.
That's fantastic. It's all down to you. We'll tell the people, if there's anybody out there in a situation, there is a way out. There's definitely
a way out.
You know, and it's just making
that. And you won't be left. But remember, you gotta want to get out. Don't make the decision and then decide, I still love him or I still love her. You're out. There's no going back. Once you're out, you can't go back, because then it's too dangerous.
Yeah, and as you said earlier, it gets worse and it could end up very, very bad.
You'd end up, unfortunately, in a coffin, because that's what happens.
Okay. Okay, your Facebook page is the main part of contact.
Name on Do or Die Foundation.
Yeah, and it's 086-869-7022. Do you still have your get-togethers, Priscilla, that you had when you started?
I beg your pardon?
Do you still have your get-togethers?
Oh, we do, regular. And again, anybody that would like to meet up after Christmas, we're having one after Christmas, give us a shout. And we have great fun at them, and different stories, and but do give us a shout, and we'd love to meet new faces coming in, and it's a great way of meeting new friends.
Okay, listen, Priscilla, thanks very much for taking the call. I know you're very, very busy.
Anytime, we're always listen, we're never too busy for Near FM. You're a great bunch. Well done, and well done to all the people.
Thank you, and well done to you, and well done to Rita and all the gang. And have a happy Christmas.
And the same to you. God bless you all. Take care.
See you, Priscilla. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yes, Priscilla Granger there from the Do or Die Foundation. And don't forget, there is help out there, and there are people who went through exactly what you're going through if you are in that sort of situation. And go onto their Facebook page, Do or Die Foundation, or the number is 086-869-7022.